to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. One more MCU for the road since we finally got through Infinity War, and that's in our rear view. We gear up now for Ant-Man coming out in the summer, then Captain Marvel and Infinity War 2 / Avengers 4 next year. Since Marvel now owns all our brains and headspaces, we're going to do a re-rank, a perfecting perfection, if you will, of the 19 MCU movies. Run them down in order for you, kind of like a quick go-to supplement guide if you didn't go through all our MCU review episodes, which we have six of them, seven if you count Infinity War now. We're going to re-rank 19 through 1, the best MCU movies, starting with the not-so-best or the least best, as I said in a separate pod.
A lot of good movies. So if you haven't watched this whole series, we're going to be spoiler-free today, and we'll give you some basic synopses for the movies. But yes, to watch this series. It's fun. It's, as a film buff, it's great. And as a film critic, it's still great.
Yeah, and it's so cool to see the evolution of the MCU over time, what they started from, how they looked at the beginning, where they are now. It's almost like they're totally different.
Yeah, I mean, as a wannabe screenwriter, you're learning a lot. I'll speak for myself on that. And I think as a in film appreciation circles that you got, this is going to break through in the Oscars at some point. We've been building that up.
God willing, Oscar this year,
Each one of our MCU reviews, each phase, each trio of three movies that we break down, we have an Oscar lens on it. We had an Oscar lens on Infinity War for a good reason, an Oscar lens on Black Panther for a good reason. We're Mike, Mike, and Oscar, and we believe that these should be in contention.
That's right. That is my co-host also, Mike. I am a co-host, Mike One, and we're going to get right into it. So as a means of recapping, let's talk about the different phases that Marvel has introduced to us, Marvel Studios has introduced to us, starting with Phase 1, Michael. Let's recap some Phase 1 movies.
Iron Man 1, just called Iron Man. Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. bursts onto the scene fighting Obadiah Stane in that movie. Great villainous name. I won't get into spoilers, like I said, but just a brief little snippet. Stuff in the desert, stuff in the country is pretty good. The Incredible Hulk with William Hurt, Ed Norton, and the other bad guy from Pulp Fiction.
Tim Roth,
good job. Tim Roth is in that movie too. It's a Hulk, it's a monster mash. Iron Man 2, Tony Stark is back. He's buddies with War Machine. We got a bad guy with big giant electric whips. The wrestler, Mickey Rourke. Very, pretty cool movie there. Thor 1 there. Chris Hemsworth with bleached blonde eyebrows, which they never will bring back. Directed by Kenneth Branagh. We got a lot of mythical prologue involving Anthony Hopkins and the Otenheim and the you know, the frost planet there.
Rainbow Road.
Yep. And we got a big battle on Rainbow Road at some point. Captain America, the First Avenger. Steve Rogers, Captain America, gets his origin story. And I thought they did it very well. You got a big bad and Hugo Weaving, who was on a big bad run there for a while as evil villains.
Yeah,
but
a weak Red Skull performance.
And culminating Phase 1 was Marvel's The Avengers.
Yes.
They actually put their name on that one. Great mashup, really changed the game, we thought. Alien invasion versus superheroes.
Yeah.
And it's not really a spoiler, just what it was, baby.
And it was kind of our first glimpse into what Infinity War would be, which we just wrapped up with in our most recent episode. Phase 2 started off with Iron Man 3 and the entirety of Stark Tower and Stark's whole existence kind of being blown to shit.
Tony Stark without the suit having to do battle on that one. It was fun.
Thor the Dark World, we're introduced to one of the Infinity Stones in that one. Captain America the Winter Soldier, a complex spy thriller, which kind of took everyone by surprise. Then our first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, where we all rocked out to some classic rock in space.
Yes, sir.
Avengers were back again in Age of Ultron with James Spader being the voice of every robot from
Bad
now
robot.
On. Finishing up with Ant-Man, who was just there to sell toys to kids.
Smaller movie, but delivered goods, right? Phase 3 featured Captain America Civil War right off the bat. A monstrous movie, another mashup, kind of Avengers 2.5 in many ways. Civil War between Cap and Iron Man, built up throughout the other 12 movies before that, which was fun. Doctor Strange after that, we get the origin story to the wizarding world of Marvel. Very good performance by Benedict Cumberbatch, Benedict Wong. We had some issues with that movie, but it has great visual effects.
Non-Asian Tilda Swinton.
Some problems with it, but still a decent origin story. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Kurt Russell versus Chris Pratt.
Maybe the best opening scene in the MCU.
Oh, my God. Best credit sequence. Yes. Best opening credit sequence ever. I would agree with that, and I would argue for that. You and I would go hand in hand.
Yes. As we do most times.
Dying on that hill if somebody wanted to get us there. Spider-Man Homecoming, another terrific origin story featuring a new kind of Spider-Man than we've seen with the Tobey Maguire series.
And a new kind of Spider-Man origin story.
Yeah, so Tom Holland, they don't go through the whole Uncle Ben stuff. Mm-hmm. And they kind of take a different tact with it. And it's a great coming-of-age movie. Yeah. In many ways.
Lady Bird and spandex.
Thor Ragnarok dipping into the space opera genre once more. And we have Hulk. We have Thor doing a buddy comedy in many ways. We have Loki and Thor doing a buddy comedy. We have a lot of friends buddying up in that movie. So it's a real fun movie, in my opinion. Black Panther, of course, the schmillion dollar, my new phrase. I'm hoping it sticks. Schmillion dollar movie that's just been crushing it. The origin story of T'Challa, the Black Panther, that we got set up a little bit in a previous movie, and was thrilled to see such an awesome cast of characters involved in that one. Yeah. Great villain.
Awesome movie.
We reviewed it in a two-part episode this year during the Oscar season, really, in February.
Yeah, that may be its own Oscar movie. It comes at the end of the year this year. We'll see how it holds up.
We think so. So what's upcoming, Mike?
We just finished Avengers Infinity War, which was the start of Phase 4, so that means on the docket next is Ant-Man and the Wasp. That'll be the next movie coming out in a couple months, followed by Captain Marvel, which is Brie Larson's big introduction into the MCU.
I think that's in the fall, maybe, or do I have that right?
Captain Marvel coming out next March, which is going to lead into Avengers 4, where the formerly titled Infinity War 2 is now just Avengers 4 with no subtitle yet. That'll be in May of 2019, followed by Spider-Man 2, which is one of the final properties until Spider-Man goes back to Sony. I think he'll have one more movie after that Spider-Man 2. That actually might be his last one. That might be his last foray before going back to the Sony property.
Really?
And Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Is wrapping up Phase 4. So 19 movies with another 4 or 5 on the horizon as of now. Kevin Feige sleeps on a pile of money. Kathleen Kennedy sleeps on a pile of money.
Kathleen Kennedy does the winter blockbuster circuit for Disney with Pixar movies thrown in. And then, you have Frozen 2 coming up. And
they have Mickey Mouse ears made out of solid gold.
Marvel gets the summer and the spring.
It's incredibly uncomfortable to wear. It's way too heavy. So, 19 movies. Let's rank them. We're going to go like we do in Perfecting Perfection, just a quick back and forth, countdown style, worst to best, except there's no such thing as a worst Marvel movie. So here we go. Before we start with number 19, what do we have as our number 20, the disappoint finger of shame to Marvel?
Yeah, we agreed on this in the prep. Honorable mention, number 20 in terms of badness is the fact that we do not have a Black Widow movie.
I mean, you could still make it now after what she went through Infinity War, because now she has new enemies. Mm-hmm. Like, just do it. Just pull the goddamn trigger.
Do it.
Enough of this.
Number 20, the rage is, we've spent that rage before.
Shame.
But Shame Bell. My number 19, The Incredible Hulk.
Yes, you're correct.
Still, even this movie is as kind of weak as it is, especially for a macho movie, it's still kind of a B-minus in my grades. It's a
monster
terrible.
Mash, like you said. It's a monster movie. It feels very un-Marvel-y based on what these movies have done, especially in the last 5 years.
A lot of the principles that have come to work so well for them kind of were not used in this movie. This is a movie skewing just for the He-Man and the macho people that have worked throughout the 80s.
It's kind of amazing that the MCU was able to pull itself out from what this movie kind of took the path so far away from what Iron Man had established before it.
Right. Big strong hero versus big strong villain doesn't sell as well anymore. It just doesn't work. So that was my number 19. You, Mike?
Yeah, I'm 19. 8 was Incredible Hulk for me as well. 18 for me, Thor of the Dark World.
Wow.
Yeah?
We didn't look at this? Yeah, that's
my number 18. All right. Cool.
Still, maybe a little bit stronger of a B-. I probably would have given this like a B83. It's still like...
To me, there's a bit... I mean, there's not a big gap, but there's definitely a gap between Hulk and this one. I just think Hulk is kind of out of place as a Marvel movie, but this one doesn't really do itself a lot of favors. But yeah, it's entertaining.
I still think they're figuring out how to play with Thor and Loki in this movie. The Dark Elf villain is terrible. This is one of their worst
villains.
There's
no conflict. Yeah, there's really no... I mean, there's very little...
Maybe that tells you, story fans, potential screenwriters, when you have the worst villain in the Marvel series, not Tim Roth's a bad actor, but that was, we made fun of how dumb
you
that
need
villain
a
was.
Capable villain. You need a capable
and,
villain.
Yeah, the Dark Elf is a very bad villain.
17.
I have the first Thor.
Yep.
No way.
We haven't compared notes on this, people, by the way, so we're just kind of, yeah, all right, so we have the same 19 through 17. What do you have for 16?
We're both one mic.
This has to end at some point.
We can say why.
No, I want to hear what your 16 is.
My 16 was Iron Man 2. No
yes!
way.
Yes. Come on, let's have the same list.
What was your 15?
Captain America, the First Avenger.
Okay, no, we're going to deviate. So let's go back. Let's go back and do the right thing. Thor 1 was our number 17.
Yes.
We like this restaurant. This is scary. The opening monologue is a slog. You know, I said it before in the beginning. They're learning how to play with these essential characters. His eyebrows are blonde. Problems.
Not a lot of inexplicable things that happen.
Still very
really
funny though.
Yeah. Look, you're not any of these bottom movies, like we said, they're least best. It's not that they're worse, because you're not going to kill yourself for watching any of them, save for maybe the Incredible Hulk.
Was probably like a B84-85, because there's some jokes that really land, which they will expound on in later Thor movies. There's a lot of good stuff there in this movie. Cartoony though, visual effects. Mm-hmm. Some of the worst visual effects we've seen.
Not great.
That get better in my number 16, but what was your number? Oh, no.
Yeah, 16, Iron Man 2.
We're still together.
We haven't separated yet. Iron Man 2. Whiplash is a very polarizing villain in the MCU. The Hammer character, played by...
Sam Rockwell,
thank you. Recent Academy Award winner. We both had an appreciation for it. We thought he was great, but overall, not the strongest story overall.
They kind of sideline some key characters in this movie that I didn't like. The racetrack sequence, which was all the marketing, even if you didn't see this movie, you saw all the marketing with Mickey Rourke there. That was terrific. And visually, like you said, the finale visually has some awesome shots in it during our review. So this one's worth seeing just for eye candy.
And the introduction to the Natasha Romanoff character.
Oh, yeah. Black Widow.
So, 15. This is where we first deviate. So what do you have?
I have Ant-Man. I think the...
That's my 14. So we're off by one.
And guess what?
Captain America 14.
We suck.
I was just going to say that.
We're one mic.
All right.
No, I am Donnie Darko and you're the rabbit.
Mike and Oscar now.
Oh, my God.
All right. So, okay, we could take these two in unison as well. Let's start with Ant-Man,
I thought the first half of the movie sucked.
It's a kid's movie. I've said that. Aside from the quantum realm subatomic stuff, which if you go back and listen to our Infinity War, might have more to do with it.
But yeah.
There's nothing in this movie. Young Michael Douglas is creepy. This is a kid's movie for selling toys.
Old Michael Douglas is also creepy. He's Basil Exposition in the darn thing. Yeah. Paul Rudd kind of grows into his character as the movie goes along. He's like a little...
Evangeline Lilly is the best character.
And she gets no time, like this goofy stuff to do.
Hopefully
yeah.
they rectify it with the upcoming.
I like the sidekicks. I like Michael Pena and the boys.
Oh, yeah, the T.I. Michael, that whole group is very
Why
funny.
Didn't we see more... Yeah. Or, why don't we see more of them anywhere else?
And Bobby Cannavale can be in any movie.
He's pretty good. I like that guy, character too. But I honestly enjoyed the Honey, I Shrunk the Kid gimmicks that the movie plays with.
It was fine, except that it's such a kid's movie. Like, there are so many kid movie tropes. The Thomas the Tank Engine oncoming train that with the white, you know, it's fine. Captain America the First Avenger was my 15, you're 14.
Yeah, you start with
this is
one.
The introduction to the Steve Rogers character. It's our first one. A lot of questionable decisions about what they're doing with Cap as far as putting him on the road as a sideshow to sell bail bonds. Tell me about how you were dying to see the MCU selling bail bonds story arc.
It's an interesting thing this movie does, because they tell a war picture and they backtrack in time to do it. So they make your brain jump to that level kind of story there. But there's some definite plot holes in this movie.
Big ones.
And talk about kids' movie, this felt like an episode of G.I. Joe from our childhood.
And probably the weakest Marvel villain.
Kind of a weak villain. Yeah, not a great villain.
Neither one of us were thrilled with
it. Didn't love it. However, the origin, like, this would have been much lower on my list if not for the terrific origin story.
That goes in the background of making Cap. Yeah,
Steve
Rogers.
I love the arm.
There's definitely some good you can pull from the first Avenger. I agree.
Okay, so that was 15, 14.
13. You go first.
Iron Man 3.
We can't do this anymore.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
There's no way.
I will show you my list. Yeah. So listen, you could say this about Marvel. They're consistent because we're seeing these in the same way. We're obviously spending too much time together, but
yes,
look, it seems to be a pretty definitive bottom
six here.
This
is supposed
to be
a dueling thing, right? Where we argue.
Iron Man 3 started off.
Some incredible highs, in my opinion. I really like the amateur sleuth thing. I love Tony without the suit having to be a MacGyver hero. I like the twists and turns of the plot to a degree. Again, no spoilers here, but this one really does the kiss, kiss, bang, bang. What's the name of that director?
Shane Black.
Shane Black. It feels like a Shane Black movie. It is a Shane Black movie. It feels like one. And he goes nuts with it. And it's fun. For me, it suffers from too much. It's just like way too much. I know a lot of people criticize Infinity War for being too much. We were never really got there. We were satisfied.
Yeah, we liked it.
We were satiated. We got just as much as we wanted and more. And we still want more. But this movie, to me, was like trying to do too much.
Like the bad guy, Guy Pearce was interesting, thought he was really cool, hated the ending, hated the end of the conflict, hated the way Tony gets himself out of a jam in the end of the second act. Problems for me outweigh the good, but there is a lot of good in that movie.
Right. Still, I mean, even though we like negative on it, it's still like a B movie,
yeah,
right?
You can't take any of our criticism saying that we hate these
things.
This
is a good trip to the movies. It's still like, let's put it this way, it's a worthwhile trip to the movies. I know some people have irrational hatred that their first names rhyme with Schmave, namely your brother.
Yes.
So
yeah, no, you're not gonna hate yourself for killing 2 hours with any of these
but
movies.
To tell me, Schmave, when you went to see this movie, there was had to be moments for you, right? Call in, please. call in to Mike Mag and ask you. Let us know. What was your 12, Mike?
Doctor Strange.
No, my God.
Oh, was it really? No way.
Yes, it was. I'll show you.
This is amazing.
I have to show you.
This is amazing.
I have to show you. My 12 was Doctor Freaking Strange.
This is amazing.
Why is it your number 12, Mike?
Again, big glaring holes. The visuals in this really were astounding, though. The big bad confuses me. I still haven't totally grasped my head around it.
Right.
But we're getting to the point now where the positives far outweigh the negatives with these.
Yes, the Wizarding World is something to look at, something to behold. It's a little Inception-y. Yes.
Mads Mikkelsen playing a bad guy.
Liked him. Liked Rachel McAdams and Tilda Swinton's performances. Didn't love
you
their character.
You don't use Rachel McAdams and Michael Stuhlbarg. They're there. You have them in the building.
I know. Some big missteps with Doctor Strange. I think we're lower on it than most of the movie watching world.
Seems to be.
I noticed. We're much lower on it. But still liked it. Still a lot of highs. Still some funny quips, funny jokes. A great dilemma in there somewhere. I won't tell you where, but it's. I love when a juicy dilemma is posed to the hero. But yeah, I mean, it could have been. Could have been better.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. Pretty well surmised. What did you have at 11?
Iron Man.
Okay, what did you have at 10?
Avengers Ultron.
All right, so we're differentiating. All right. Cool. All right, so you had 11 for Iron Man.
One of the top origin stories in the franchise. It's a powerful fantasy of that time and place.
It's my number 10, so we're close.
Okay,
yeah.
In war with Afghanistan, in war in Iraq, you have Iron Man versus terrorists for much of that movie. There's also a lot of sentimentality, like maybe this is not as good as some of those other movies I mentioned. It's definitely not to the scale. It's like, it's not as big of a movie as Iron Man 2 or 3, for that matter. But the sentimentality that this is what started it all. But in terms of simple storytelling, I love how all of his friends, like, this is a clinic on how all of the allies to a hero, the supporting characters, really play well as foils and support the hero and all get their agency. And I liked how they did that. Why was it your number 10, Mike?
The one that started it all, I thought it was a pretty soup to nuts, basic telling of an origin story that really, for such a grand endeavor, it needed to be. And what the MCU wanted to be where it is now, it needed to start with such a very strong opening for their big protagonist. And they killed it, I thought, with this movie. Very simple storytelling structure. Obadiah Stane, I love the Jeff Bridges performance, but whether or not Obadiah Stane is a capable enough bad guy, which again, it falls into that MCU has a bad guy problem that you've heard us talk about over and over again, which they have seemed to have since solved, which is nice to see. But issues with him.
What was your grade, just out of curiosity? Mine was a B86 for Iron Man.
I don't have it written down. I'm pretty sure I was like an 85, 86, solid BB plus range. That was my 10. My 11 was Guardians Volume 2.
I could see that.
The Ego storyline, it's again, that was Kurt Russell playing the Ego, Peter Quill. It was kind of a more of a family drama. Again, if you go back and listen to our recap of that, you can hear my issues with it, but you're not, it's a quick 2-hour movie. Anytime you're with the Guardians, at this point in the countdown, these are really good movies. Really good movies. Because you're not going to hate spending 2 hours with the Guardians and their quips and their humor. They are hysterical. Best opening scene in the MCU, like we said, with Baby Groot running around while they fight that big squid thing.
Now, I have a little bit of debate for you here, because I thought it was so funny that it deserved to be a little higher. But again, it's a small debate because I have a couple spots
higher. You gave it more lenience.
A couple spots, because on rewatch, I just laughed like a hyena this whole movie.
I did. When I originally did my list, it was higher.
I was an audience on Friends. I was just dying in this laugh track like a jerk. I don't know if that's... I mean, I guess that's what it takes for me, but...
It is. I mean, you're not wrong. It's a hysterical movie. And Drax is more developed with his humor, laughing like a jackass at everything. It's great.
He is funny from start to finish. Now, Gamora Nebula stuff I didn't love. People who have not seen this movie is like, what the hell am I talking about? Gamora Nebula. There's some characters that aren't portrayed as well as others. That's going to show up for me in a minute. Am I on my number 10? I had Avengers.
You're 11. What was your 11?
Iron Man was my 11. Okay, that was where the B86 is. Now I kind of get to B plus 87s on the way down. I've ticked Guardians of the Galaxy. So if my brother Daniel's listening, I've added that a point. He always argued with me that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was a B plus.
There you go.
We had arguments about this.
That one point.
I was like, no, it's a B36. So yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I argued with him about it for a while.
Yeah, it's right on the line, I would say. Yeah.
Laughed like a dork. But I have Avengers Age of Ultron delivering the goods based on the spectacle.
See, we're seeing these the same way. Avengers Age of Ultron is my 8, so I'm not far off from you. But yeah, it's definitely in that range.
I didn't love the finale as much as some other people, but I think there's one of the best action sequences in the whole MCU in the middle of this movie.
And yeah, you are in love with that. I love that
sequence. I love the characters involved in that sequence. I go back to our spoiler episode.
And I'm kind of the opposite when it comes in. That's why I have it ranked so highly, because that sequence was good. But for me, the conflict, the big conflict at the end, I loved it.
Yeah. That works then. That's cool. So what was your number 9 now?
9 for me, I have a feeling this is where we're going to differentiate most. I am not as high on Thor Ragnarok as everyone else in the world seems to be.
I'd be curious if you rewatched it, if you'd rank it higher. Like you said, possible, with Spider-Man, you know, maybe your expectations were too high.
And I did think about the Spider-Man equivalency like that when I was
you
putting
did mention
together.
That. Yeah, yeah. I just listened to that episode.
It's my number 9.
It's
but
a good
again,
episode, by
when
the
you
way.
Get, when you get into the top 12, top 13, you're splitting hairs as it is.
Cool.
Thor Ragnarok was my number 9, so...
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was my 9.
There you go.
Again, I have some quibbles with it. It's still B-plus territory right now. And Thor Ragnarok's a B-plus movie for you. You had a good time watching.
Did you know that Asgard isn't a place, it's a people?
Yes.
Have you heard that?
I'm not even going to argue with you. That's a tiny bit of a spoiler because it's kind of funny. It's just yeah, you didn't like that part. I know. Maybe you rewatch it again. You'll let that go a little bit. I just watched a Ram Dass documentary on Netflix. Just let it go. Just live, Mike. Just live. Just be. Okay. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. We both have a comedy in our number 9 slot. And this is a tribute to Marvel. They have just straight up
genre bending.
They have great comedies in this whole series.
Totally.
And you never, I guess maybe now if you do expect it, it'd be harder to make you laugh. But even still, I dare
now you're
you.
Now you're getting into like an Inception argument about Marvel.
But I dare you to go into Thor Ragnarok and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and not laugh. Come on.
Impossible. Yeah, totally impossible. And that's, again, it speaks to the quality in that, yeah, they are so funny and we have them as the 9th best movies that this awesome. That this studio
that's
has released.
That's awesome. B-plus movies. We don't get that many a year, in all honesty. I mean, there's how many movies released a year, and I get like 25, 30 B-pluses. That's it? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. We were singing the same tune. 8 was, like I said, Avengers Age of Ultron. For me, what was your number 8?
It was Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Ooh.
This was a new direction for MCU films. Ooh. It was a spy thriller. Still, even though they said it was a spy thriller, the more I kind of analyze it, the more it's still kind of a save the world superhero movie in terms of genre, in terms of stakes.
Yeah.
I mean, 'cause it is. But at the same time, there's some realism. There's some grounding. And the freaking kick-assness of the action sequences. God, I love those. The problem is some of that quote-unquote spy thriller stuff doesn't work. They don't know it's a spoiler.
There are jumps that you have to take to get to where that movie wants you to go. I totally agree.
That was an animated review we had of this movie.
It was one of the more fun ones. That said, you are lower on the Winter Soldier, I would say, than a lot of people are.
I was much lower on it going into the rewatch. I had it as a B+, and then I rewatched it. I was like, wait a minute, I've been grading movies all this time. It's better than all these movies. It has to be an A-. So this is where my A-es pick up at number 8. This is an A-90 for me.
I think we're splitting hairs now, especially because I think my number 2 is like a 92, 93. And my number one is, so we have between like an 87 and a 92 is like these seven movies. So we're in a really tight spot.
You're always a harsher grader. You're the teacher who grades on the curve.
Yeah, I'm a dick. I am.
You're the tough
one. Which fits the narrative because you're certainly more qualified to be a movie critic than I am. So the fact that I'm a harsher grader just makes me more of an asshole.
Really? No.
You have appreciation for what these people do. You can understand and relate to
but
them.
But you're freed up to be more
I
of a critic.
I just judge from a high horse on top
so
of
listen,
a mountain.
So listen, when our 19-to-1 countdowns don't mesh up so quick, you know, evenly, we're actually pretty good at
right,
this.
Right, exactly.
Where are we? What number?
I don't know. Number 7, I think, is where we are. For me, was Spider-Man Homecoming.
What was your number 8 again?
My number 8 was Ultron.
And Spider-Man Homecoming is also my number 7.
Oh, wow. All right. So we went back up in the middle there.
We could talk about it together.
Again, like you said, for me, the rewatch really gained this a lot of points in my book because I was relatively high on it. I thought it was like a nice B movie to start. But on the rewatch, there's so many little details that it just blew me away. And the rewatch of the scene, the most tension-built scene involving a car ride. I'm not going to get into it anymore than that, but my God, was I on the edge of my seat for that whole thing. I thought it was so beautifully constructed.
I love that this movie is essentially John Hughes' film.
Yeah.
It's like The Breakfast Club or Pretty in Pink. It's as good of a coming-of-age story as we've seen not nominated for an Oscar in recent years.
So, Michael Keaton is off the walls in this one. I really think he should have been supporting actor nominee after rewatching.
Consistently funny movie, delivers in the action spectacle territory there. I thought the finale was harrowing. It's smaller stakes. It's smaller than a lot of, you know, the save the world stakes of every other
MCU
movie.
Which only adds points to it for me because it's a teenager.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's an introduction to a teenage Avenger.
Working his way up the minor leagues in terms of Avengers. I had this at an A-91.
Yeah, I'm in that ballpark. I think I'm in the 89, 90. I didn't write down my
people are
going to
be surprised at me coming up for what's next. But
go for it. What do you got? 6.
Black Panther.
You bastard. You racist bastard.
Give me a break. Listen, I'm consistent with grades. I actually added this upon rewatch. I rewatched it recently. Now it's on VOD. We got the dual episode to review it. We got the part six of the MCU to review it. So we reviewed the heck out of this. I think it's a bona fide Oscar contender. I have it as an A-91 right now. I told you it was right up there with Spider-Man Homecoming and this one. There were like, I was arguing with myself what was better, what was worse. This movie had a couple of lapses to it that are more pronounced upon rewatch. So I have some issues with the movie. Again, reference all my stuff on it, our stuff. It is our stuff, I guess.
So so you're saying that with how much you've stand and shilled for this movie to be nominated for Best Picture this year, that you have five movies that Marvel has released that you would have had given Best Picture nominations to?
Yeah.
Wow. All right, that's awesome.
You've watched the you've seen the Mike and Oscars list that I put forth.
Yeah.
And I had movies that are A movies. Black Panther, awesome, to me is an A-minus all day.
Cool.
I loved it. I think it's got the best Oscar chances yet. I don't necessarily believe that it's a better movie than some other Marvels, but I think it's the best, by my rankings, the best first film in a series, in a franchise within the MCU. And I think Ryan Coogler, Michael B. Jordan, Chadwick Boseman, Danai Gurira, Letitia Wright. I can just keep gushing over it. It's the best cast, like we've said, but it's also the best first film. I just don't think...
I will have more to say about it.
All right. We'll have a miniature debate. Yeah. What was your six?
Winter Soldier. Which, again, you got to take same issues. You got to take leaps, but the it was a different direction for Marvel. That the big spy thriller was drawn.
Was this
out
better than WrestleMania?
No,
darn it.
No, it was not. I could have done without the entire MacGuffin bringing back that doctor character, which is kind of a spoiler, yeah, but kind of not. But
yeah,
again, Robert Redford's involved.
There's a doctor character.
Jackson's involved. Yeah. Great movie. Number five for me was the first Avengers.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because it was the first time you see, it was such a grand plan. You see all these people on the screen at the same time. You can't believe all these worlds are colliding. Based on the look on your face right now, I'm assuming it's your number one.
I'm going to change my list is what I'm doing. That's what the look on my face is saying. I'm going to agree with you.
I just did myself.
I'm going to agree with you. Because here's the thing. I just saw Avengers Infinity War like the other day, mm-hmm, for a third time. I have to move it ahead of the Avengers.
I don't think there's any question. Yeah,
I have to.
I don't think there's any question.
And I have to change my list, yeah, because it's just better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's also my number five.
All right, cool.
I'm also Mike. That's the dumbest joke in the history of the podcast.
It's the most direct lead into what Infinity War gave us.
Yes.
Except if you want to talk about what happened with Gamora in the Guardian movies. So it's laying out the plot some... 8 years before it happens?
Right. Changing the game.
Yeah.
It can be a sentimental favorite for us.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's nostalgic. It's the first time we saw them all on screen at the same time.
It also just delivers action goods.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
oh, yeah,
and it's just the way it works in the jokes. We haven't seen that in another blockbuster since when? Like, when have we been in the height of a action sequence? They make that typical Indiana Jones style tension relief joke, and you laugh that hard. Mm-hmm. Has that ever happened in other movies?
It takes a deft touch, and
Joss Whedon
killed
man.
It. And it introduced for the first time immediately when Tony and Cap are on the screen together. The seeds are planted immediately for the way they see the world differently, and that leads to Civil War, which was my number four as well.
Okay, cool. So we talk about Civil War then. That's not my number four. We got some...
It's an Avengers light, right? I mean, it's 2.5 like we keep calling it. It's the reason Ant-Man's biggest foray into the MCU, his biggest use.
Yep.
It introduces us to the Spider-Man character for the first time, which is used to kind of look back in Homecoming to see what he did leading up to that. It's a nice starting off point. It's the internal conflict of the Avengers. Chasing the only, it would probably be my number one, except for the quote unquote big bad is so weak to me.
Well, that's the whole point of that movie. It's Civil War, Mike.
Yes,
there's
thank
no
you.
Big bad.
Okay, very
they
good.
They fight each other,
but there is a guy pulling the strings, and the guy pulling the strings to me is a weak character.
I thought he's a brilliant character, genius. Go back and listen to our Captain America Civil War review.
I'm getting all these fucking spaces. He's just a guy. He's just showing up everywhere.
The last almost spoiler here before we can. He is just a guy according to Marvel. So go back. I just turned it from almost spoiler to teaser.
Fuck that guy.
My number four. Are you done?
Yes.
My number four was Avengers Infinity War.
It's my number three.
In terms of size and spectacle, it's the biggest of the best.
Yes.
It's the mostest of the most. It's MCU brought into quite the crescendo. I had quibbles with it. Go back and listen to our reviews. We flush them out like crazy. And I think, honestly, the highs of this movie are higher than movies ahead of it on my list.
So I would totally agree.
I would say the Winter Soldier's like that on my list as well.
Yeah,
like the highs of the Winter Soldier are higher than maybe my number two movie on the list, maybe my number three. But in terms of the overall composition, I think there's some problems. Still, I've never been more excited to see what happens next.
I'm also proud of us for avoiding recency bias and either one of us having Infinity War at number one. Go us.
I don't think it's number... Well, no, a lot of other people haven't done a six-part podcast series on the first 18 movies. Like, these other movies are still fresh to us.
Right,
so,
right. You're absolutely right. The highest of highs, Infinity War, but the fact that it's a three-hour movie leaves you wanting more, I think, is the biggest credit to the A through double Z storylines that the Russo brothers had to weave together, which we gushed about in our last podcast. Like you said, go back and definitely check that out if you haven't yet.
So that was your number three. Remind me what your four was.
So Captain America Civil War is my four. Infinity War is my three.
So I have to do three. Now, Thor Ragnarok is my number three movie. Yeah, this movie just might be
I got to say, I'm surprised that's not your number one.
It might be my happy place. Yeah. I love space opera. It's an easy watch. It's fun. Whenever it comes on Stars, Netflix, HBO, wherever it lands, I'm probably going to watch it like every day. So you're going to get a lot of texts from me, basically, because you don't like it as much.
Well,
and
we'll
I'm
going to block your number. Yeah.
Taika Waititi, Hunt for the Wilder People, Jeff Goldblum essence in
Jeff
this movie.
Jeff Goldblum should never take another role. This is what he was made for.
This is like where the A's start for me. I think Marvel Cinematic Universe has got three A's in my opinion, and you got your own rankings. I think this is one of those A's. It just gave me everything I wanted in a blockbuster.
I may have to
comedy.
Go back and regrade, because you're right. There should be a couple A's in here, and I think I only have one.
Well, you're a harsh grader. And you realize after, the student who you failed went home and cried to their mother, you got 17 parent emails from other mothers, including that mother, and now you're changing your ways.
I delete them before I run.
You're the hard ass man.
Number two for me, and it's tough to not say this is number one because I think it's my sentimentally favorite movie so far. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep,
is my number two.
It's not my number two, but that's
so that's got to be your number one.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's my number one. Yeah. So
what's your number two?
My number two is Captain America: Civil War.
Oh, that's my number one is Black Panther. I love Black Panther.
You would be the cowboy fan if your father wasn't such a giant fan.
I don't know.
Back
what that
in
means.
The 1990s, you were one of those guys. I can't even articulate
I'm a
myself.
Front runner?
Yeah, you're a front runner.
I've been a fan of the Celtics since Dino Raja and Damon Stoudemire were on. Dana Barros were on it. I'm a front runner.
You're a Yankee fan. You're a front runner.
I've been watching Dave Brown Giants games all my life. I love Black Panther. I really do. The Suri character was genius. The way they pulled off the graphics and the car chase scene that they have, I loved. The whole political... I'm in love not with the Killmonger character, but with the Killmonger motivation and how Ryan Coogler grounded that in reality so hard to make the strongest link to me between what is everyday life in America and what is happening. It makes Wakanda real. It makes Wakanda part of the world.
Let's have a miniature debate. Though this movie has some eyesores in it. As good as Rachel Morrison is, there are some shots in this movie, visual effect-wise, that really fell flat.
In Black Panther you're talking about? Such as? I mean, you can't go into too much detail, but give me
the
something
waterfall.
Like that.
I'll just say the waterfall.
I mean, come on.
It's a terrible shot.
It's not terrible?
Yes,
it's
terrible.
A terrible shot?
It's terrible because it's 17 of the same person clapping their hands. They don't populate enough extras. They don't populate 30,000 extras. You watch that movie again and tell me it's not the same guy clapping his hands. He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. He's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's a terrible shot. And then the end is cartoony.
What are you talking about?
The end is cartoony.
First of all, it's symbolic.
Yeah, no, but it's cartoony in visual effects.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's a cartoon. You're exposed to it being a cartoony type underground where the finale happens. It's not like it cheapens. It's not like you're shown at one point during the movie.
My eyes,
then in the second point, it's so off.
My eyes glaze over and I get cartoonish visuals. That's just, all right. We had our miniature debate. You disagree.
I hate you.
This is how every debate goes on Mike and Oscar.
No, I hate you. I'm not taken out of the visuals as much as you are. Now, if you're going to say they don't stand up to the Infinity War visuals, no, but nothing does. Infinity War is on a different playing field when it comes to visuals. Also, by the way, had triple the budget of any movie ever.
It's true.
So, that goes back to our argument about whether
the Oscar movies aren't pound for pound, nor should lists be pound for pound.
I agree. I don't disagree with you. But I do think there's a more personable story told in Black Panther, which makes you able to be more emotionally connected with the characters.
Well, box office records will agree with you up to a point. So, yeah, I can't argue with a lot of that. So I love Black Panther, too. I'm just trying to make an argument because we had this whole podcast.
You dick! you had Civil War as your number one.
So Civil War was my number two.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You had Guardians. Super tight script. I may gush over the writing of it. The fact that they made that work in the same year that Batman v Superman was so wrong from the title on down.
Yep.
Maybe it was just the contrast. At the time, the stakes were higher because of some off-screen stuff, contracts being negotiated, et cetera, et cetera. Again, we're not talking spoilers, but you kind of know who's still alive based on the Infinity War posters. Even if
we did get into a lot of backstage dealings in that review. It's interesting to go back and listen to.
Action movie goods delivered better than ever, maybe, in that movie. In terms of finale, fist fight. But it's more than that. It weaves in some great debate with the action. Every action is a characterization moment for the hero and for all the heroes. I mean, you have full arcs played out through action scenes. So I just love the way they did that. So that was my number two. And my number one was Guardians of the Galaxy because, again, it's my happy place.
Yeah,
so
Guardians is my two. I love Guardians.
It's like such a favorite that it's hard to, you know, it's hard to distinguish that from the best movie and my favorite movie. I guess
I just broke your balls
about the same thing.
Well, it's true. It is difficult to do.
Is Black Panther more of a favorite, you think? You think it's the best?
I think
based on film quality.
I think Black Panther has the best story structure.
Interesting.
I think Guardians is the most joy. It brings me the most joy to watch.
So That's fascinating to me because I guess, you know, all these lists are arbitrary, right?
Sure.
The criteria is not something that we have a sit down and talk about what makes number one and what doesn't. And guess what? The Academy doesn't do this either. They just have more categories.
Which makes us qualified to host this podcast.
Right. So, I mean, Black Panther, for you, is the best adapted screenplay of the 18, for sure.
Yes.
And you could say that the screenplay is so good that you could extend that beyond and say it's the best picture of the MCU.
I would say it's the best picture, but more than that, I think I'm more convinced that Coogler got the most out of his cast than any director did with theirs, as far as, again, emotional attachment and structure.
Right, that makes sense. And I guess at the end of the day, my list becomes what's my favorite movie?
Which is fine. I mean, look, if we're talking personal favorites, we have the same taste.
We'd probably
Guardians is my number two, and I hated putting it not at number one. I did. It's just, it's a hilarious movie. Like I said, it brings me the most personal joy to watch. It's so
great blend of comedy and action.
And
I mean,
music.
This was where they started to really feature soundtracks. I mean, in this movie. I mean, they waited long enough, and then they had one banger after another from the 1970s and 60s.
And I said it when we recorded the review, that this movie, the Guardians movie, was the point where you knew Marvel knew they had the Midas touch. because they weren't going back. They were making
big obscure property
about anything they wanted,
multiple sources,
and they were aces with it.
And this is where they really matured. And this was the most pleasant surprise for me back when I was seeing these. And this was an August release.
Yep.
And just totally became my favorite movie in August out of nowhere of that year. Some of my favorite villains, my favorite rival character, Yondu from The Walking Dead there. You know,
Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker. So I love the movie. And I can't argue with you that much about Black Panther, other than maybe I'll have to rewatch it another time and see that shot. Maybe we both do.
What's most important for me, what sticks out in the rankings, is the quality of villain. You have a capable villain, you're going to have a higher scored movie. You have to have a capable baddie. And I've said that, I've beat that drum to death. But you're talking about the Killmongers, the Ronins, the Vultures in Homecoming.
Another thing I'm noticing, though, I have three genre movies at my top of my list.
You love genre pictures.
I like genre pictures, and you kind of go for the best of the superhero movies. Yeah. Black Panther's probably the best of the superhero movies.
Well, I just have better taste, that's all.
Well, but it's the best of the superhero origin stories, like I said.
You did,
say that.
And I almost actually jumped in and said I think I like Guardians more when you said that, but then I realized that would have been a direct contradiction of what I did, so I didn't say it.
You know, the Guardians is a men on a mission story in terms of genre and structure, right? I mean, it's different. It's in terms of an origin story.
It's still an origin story. That's your first introduction to the characters, no?
Yeah, I think you're right. Huh. So I guess by my list, I can't say what I said about Black Panther before.
So we're both wrong. Everybody loses.
This is Inception.
Just as a means of recap, one for me, Black Panther, one for you,
this
Guardians.
Is confusing, yeah.
I'll just list off the top 10. Black Panther, Guardians, Infinity War, Civil War, Avengers 1, Winter Soldier, Spider-Man is 7, Avengers Ultron is 8, Ragnarok 9, 10 is Iron Man 1 for me.
I had Guardians 1, Civil War 2, Ragnarok 3, Infinity War 4, Marvel's The Avengers.
Yeah, with an F.
The Avengers 5. Black Panther was 6. Homecoming, Spider-Man Homecoming was 7. Winter Soldier 8. Guardians 2, 9. I'm just saying numbers now.
Yeah.
And then Age of Ultron was 10.
So it's interesting to know. We have 9 of the same top 10.
Yeah.
And your number...
And yet we get into a red-faced argument somehow.
Your Guardians Volume 2, which you had in your top 10 and I didn't, is my number 11. So we're seeing these very similarly, so you're at least getting consistency from us. But again, let us know your top, whatever, 18, 19, 20.
We had a shared top 11 because I had Iron Man as number 11.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so we're perfect. And we had the exact same 18 through 13. So number 12 is really where the issue between us is.
We suck. Countdowns are not our bad, so don't judge us on this episode.
Let us know what you had. We're dying to know your top 5, actually, because it is very interesting to see how everyone ranks and why they rank where they do. So definitely reach out to us. Let us know your top 3, your top 5, your number 1, whatever you want to do. We're interested to hear it. We'll hit you up on social media, and we hope you will hit us up. Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM at Oscar on Twitter, Mike and Oscar at gmail.com, Mike and Oscar on Reddit, Mike and Oscar.com is in the pipeline. Reach out to us, guys. We love hearing from you. We love interacting with you, and we want to know definitely more about all of the MCU work that we've done and how you've handled it and if you've liked it or not.
Yeah, and stick with us, too. We don't just do Oscar stuff. We don't just take a break for a series like this in the Oscar offseason. We're going to cover movie events going forward. Even during the Oscar season, we broke for Black Panther. We broke for Star Wars The Last Jedi. So if you're just a fan of blockbuster films, which is awesome because so are we. We also do the Oscar stuff. We do the art films. We do all that kind of prognostication, and we have fun with that. But we just love movies, so we cover all kinds of different movies.
Try to make award season year round in every some shape or way. Yeah.
So if you just found us with the MCU stuff, maybe sample our other episodes, our other kinds of episodes. But even if not, stick with us because we got more coming.
Yeah, if you're a movie fan at all, welcome home.
Yes, sir.
Reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us, and we will see you guys next time. Any parting words of wisdom?
Countdowns are crazy. This was crazy.
Also, Asgard. It's people.
It's a people.
It's people. Later, guys.
See ya.
Thank you.